You see, every single person here wants to be somebody. And the enemy is fond of enticing us. Hey, just come here. If you get this, you'll be somebody.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck in the studio with Senior Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, what a joy it is for us to be able to serve Chicagoland and really the world through Straight Talk. And here in Chicagoland, there's a lot of people who are looking for a home church. They're looking to visit, and they're looking for a good day, a good reason to rally up the family. Can you think of a good day like that?
Man, I'm thinking of a huge day, big day. And no, it's not Easter, it's not Christmas, but it's a big day, and that is Mother's Day. You know, here's the thing about Mother's Day. It falls on a Sunday. People are coming, they want to come together. And so if you're the mom of the clan, what better way to celebrate Mother's Day than to have the entire family together, go and worship? It could be an incredible gift to a mother. And so if you're looking for a church to connect with, we would love to invite you to one of our New Life locations around Chicagoland. You can find it by going to our website, find a location. I can guarantee they're going to get a biblical message. There's going to be a warm group of people reaching out to them, loving them, and you're going to experience the presence of God. So find a New Life and invite your mother.
You know, a lot of our locations do professional family portraits to add to your family legacy, to be able to look at your family throughout the years. It's our gift to you. Many do different kinds of outreaches, but all of us make a big deal about celebrating moms, and you don't want to miss this. If you're looking for a place to worship, come visit us at newlifechicago.org and find a location near you. We hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue on in Pastor Mark's series called Identity Theft today, and our message is called The Possessions Trap. Our text will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with today's Straight Talk.
You know you're in trouble when someone shows you something and you're asked for the price tag and they say, well, don't worry about that, I'll show you later. Right? Try it on first and then we'll talk about the price. You try it on and you say, oh, this looks nice. Woo, is this a nice coat? Now what's the price? You don't worry about that, we'll talk about it later. The idea behind that is let me get you hooked, and then you once you feel like you can't live without it, then you're willing to pay any price. The enemy says to Jesus, hey, I'll give you all this, the authority, the splendor, it will all be yours if you just worship me. So that's the small letter, if you just worship me. What do you mean if you just worship me? You mean Jesus, the Messiah, bowing himself to Satan and proclaiming that Satan is God? Is that what you're talking about? Inconceivable, you say. Well, that's exactly what the enemy was trying to do. Because every time we're lured by the possessions trap, we're asked to give something up of our soul or who we are. Are you tracking with me? You see, here's what I want you to understand this morning. I want you to understand that there is a part of you and I and a part of every single one of us here that we have a desire to be somebody. Do you realize that little boys, as they grow up, they want to be somebody? And little girls, as they're growing up into adulthood, they want to be somebody. And I hear people say sometimes, well, I just don't understand how that young guy could get involved in the gangs. What is it about the thrill, the violence, the money? What is it? No, I know what it is. You know what it's about? It's about being somebody. You know how it works? Sure you do. That 14-year-old boy that's going to school and his father is absent and he's not have very good communication with him, maybe emotionally absent, or maybe he's from a divorce house, but he doesn't see his father very often. And he goes to school and he gets C's and C minuses in 1D. So at school, he's a nobody because his grades don't measure up. He's not into sports, so there's nothing on the sports team that makes him somebody. He goes home, and at home he's a nobody because there's no father telling him he's a somebody. No father giving value to his life. And so when he looks out the window in the street, he lives in a community where most of the families don't have fathers that are there. And when he looks out in the street, the only men that he sees around, the ones with the cars and the one with the girls, the ones with the power, the ones with the little bit of respect on the street that he lives on, they're all the drug dealers and the gangbangers. So to this 14-year-old mind, this boy who has a deep desire to be somebody, when he looks out on the street, the only models that he has of somebody are gangbangers and drug dealers. And so when they start saying, hey, you're a nobody kid, but if you join us, hey, join us, you can wear our colors. You can have our name. You can be one of the boys, and now let me tell you, you will be somebody. And that's why there's hundreds of thousands of young boys around Chicago that have joined gangs in which they're flashing gang signs on some street corner and being shot at. Why, you ask? I know why. Because they want to be somebody. The driving force. Oh, and it shows up with girls the same way. Maybe with a different slant to it, but the same way. That young girl wants to be somebody. In fact, since she's a little girl, she wants somebody to think she's beautiful. She wants somebody to appreciate her. She wants to be fought for, sought for. She wants to belong. And so as a little girl, she manifests when she comes out and she dances around in a little princess outfit, wanting somebody to say, hey, you are so pretty. Look at you. But as she grows up, she has a desire to be somebody. And her longing is, I want somebody to care for me, somebody to want me, somebody to protect me, somebody to desire me. And so when she's 15 years old and she doesn't get it at home and she doesn't have parents that are affirming her and she feels like, I want to belong, I want to be somebody, then that boy comes along with a smooth smile, giving her attention, writing her notes, charming her, and she gives herself to this boy sexually, and she's sexually involved at 15 years old. And you say, well, how could that happen? And he treats her like dirt, and he cusses, and he begins to abuse, but she has such a desire to belong, such a desire to be somebody, that she endures it, and she takes it, because deep inside of her being, she wants to be somebody. You see, every single person here wants to be somebody. And the enemy is fond of enticing us. Hey, just come here. If you get this, you'll be somebody. The Bible tells us that he said, I can give all this to you if you worship me. That father that works 80 hours a week. He's a workaholic. Works and works and works. And his kids say, and his wife says, why are you working so much? We barely see you. And he turns around and he says, what do you mean? I'm doing this for you. I want you to have a better house, a better education, a better future than I had because we had so little. I'm doing all this for you. And his kids are saying, well, we just want to see you, Dad. No, I'm doing all this. I'm working all this hard for you. And you know what? I think that's true sometimes, but it's half a lie. Because I think there's a lot of men that are driven to succeed because they feel like they are a nobody. They want to be a somebody. And yeah, they want to provide for their house. And yeah, they want to provide for their kids. But deep inside, they're striving to prove, I'm a success. I'm a somebody. And if I have more things and more possessions and more position, then I'll finally be able to prove to myself and to my family and to others that I am somebody. And they wake up in the morning trying to prove I'm a somebody. I'm a somebody. I'll work hard. I'll sacrifice my soul trying to prove that I am somebody. You see, the devil said to Jesus, I will give this to you. All you have to do is worship me. See, there's always a big price tag to pay if you go about it the wrong way. There's always a huge price tag to pay. You see, if Jesus would have bowed his knee, if Jesus would have bowed his head, if Jesus would have said, you're right. Man, I'm supposed to be the Messiah and I'm living like a Galilean marginalized peasant. And I'm supposed to be the Savior of the world. Man, I deserve the kingdoms. And by the way, maybe I can bypass the cross and the suffering and the shame. There's an easier way to do this. If Jesus would have done that, he would have given up the very essence of who he is. And somebody to be, a lot of people to become somebody are giving the very essence of their soul to become somebody. You see, there's always a price tag to pay. And by the way, can I tell you that temptation always starts by attacking your identity? When you know who you are in God, you're much less susceptible to temptation. It's when you don't know who you are that you fall to temptation. When you don't know who you are, you give in to temptation a lot quicker. You know why? Because there's something inside of you that's saying, I need to prove something. I need to be filled. When you don't know who you are, when you're not secure in your identity and you don't know who you are in God and you don't know your worth and you don't know your value and you don't know your name in God very well, then you're a lot more likely to fall into sexual temptation or integrity temptation. You're a lot more likely to give into the lies because you're trying to prove you're somebody, and sometimes the shortcut seems like it'll work, but it doesn't really pay off in the long run. Let me give you the last concept you need to know about the possessions trap. Oh, this is huge. I wish I could preach it. Number four, this trap can only be overcome by remembering the source of our worth and our wealth. You see, I love the way Jesus responds to the temptations. All three times when Jesus is tempted, he responds the same way. Do you remember how he responded? It is written. He quotes scripture. Every time he quotes scripture. And this time he says, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Possessions Trap, which is from our series called Identity Theft. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a copy of this message for free, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 4. Our message is called The Possessions Trap.
You don't really understand the impact of this unless you understand where he's quoting from. You see, at that time, the New Testament obviously wasn't written, and so Jesus, all he had was the Old Testament to quote from. So Jesus is quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 14. And here's the context. Moses, who is the one who wrote the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he's the author of those. He wrote Deuteronomy as well. He's writing, and the people of Israel have come out of slavery and bondage, but he's warning them about something. He's warning them about the possessions trap. Notice what he says. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, here it goes, listen, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Verse 13, fear the Lord your God, or worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know what he's telling us? He's telling us if you're not careful, the possessions trap will cause you to forget God. He says, if you're not careful, you know what? Hey, when you're needy, it's easy to remember God, isn't it? Oh, God, my son's in ICU right now. Oh, God, here I am. I'll fast, I'll pray, I'll seek you, whatever you want. When you're poorer, it's easier to remember God, isn't it? Lord, I need to pay my rent. Oh, God, I need you. Lord, I don't want to be out on the street. It's cold in the wintertime in Chicago. Lord, whatever, here I am, remember. But when you prosper and you have the bigger house and you have the car that you wanted and your bank account's a little fatter, and now you don't remember how it used to be because now you just have direct deposit out of your bank account to pay your bills. Before, you had to wait a few days past because there was never enough to pay. But now you pay it right away. Now you prospered. God says when you begin to prosper, when you begin to make a way, when you begin to succeed a little bit in life, be very careful because it's at that moment that you can begin to forget the Lord your God and forget where you came from and who helped you to succeed. You see, it's very easy to look at what we've done and say, man, I worked hard for this. Whew. Look at all this. Well, how'd you do it? I worked hard. Hey, I believe in hard work. Can I tell you something? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Can I tell you something else about wealth? The Bible says that God gives you the ability to produce wealth. So the fact that you worked hard is important. But do you realize that without God giving you health, without God giving you some brains, without God giving you some ambition, that you would never succeed in what you do? That God is the one that gives you the ability to make wealth. And let me tell you, the same God that gave it is the same God that can take it away. So I wouldn't forget the Lord your God when you begin to prosper. Because when you're needy, you remember God. When you have things, it's easy to say, hey, this is who I am. Look at all this. This is my security. And begin to identify ourselves by what we possess and what we own and what we've achieved. And that would, my friends, would be a huge mistake, to begin to identify your worth and value by what you own, what you've achieved, what you have in the bank, or what you have in savings. Can I tell you something? Really, the only thing that's unchangeable, the only variable that doesn't change, wealth comes and goes. Families die. You can't build it on your education. You can't build it on your credit score. You can't build it on the people that you know or what you've achieved. All that comes and goes. But let me tell you what is secure, stable, never ending, doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the unchanging element. And when you know who you are in God, when you know who you are in God, your circumstances may change, but your identity does not. The economy may go down, but if you know who you are in God, it doesn't affect your worth. Do you know that more men commit suicide every year because of loss of finances than any other reason? That there's men, when their bank account goes down or when they lose their job, they jump out of a 20-story building or hang themselves in an isolated office after drinking a couple bottles of Jack Daniels. You know why? Their identity's so tied up in what they possess that when they lose it, they have nothing to live for. But when you know who you are in God, when you know who you are in God, it's like this. I like to compare it to a passport. You know what a passport does? A passport gives you the ability to go places that you would not be able to go unless you had it. You see, listen, if you don't have a passport, you're stuck here. If you don't have a passport, you can't go to Canada. If you don't have a passport, you can't go to Europe. If you don't have a passport, you can't go to Chile. If you don't have a passport, oh, well, I guess you can go to Mexico. Some of you know how. But typically, legally, if you don't have a passport, you're stuck in the boundaries of that country. And what is a passport? Well, a passport has a photo, and it has information about you. What a passport does is a passport gives you identity, and when your identity is secure, it allows you to cross boundaries and barriers and frontiers that normally you can't pass unless you have a clear passport. Now, let me tell you how this works. I had an experience 2 summers ago with my passport. And I was in Spain doing some ministry. And right after going to Spain, I was going to come back to Chicago and fly to Mozambique, Africa to do some ministry down there. The problem was that to get into Mozambique, Africa, you need not only a passport, but you need a visa. And they won't give you a visa unless they take your passport and have it for a few days. So I was in Spain, I had my passport, but to get a visa, I had to send my passport in the mail to the embassy, the American embassy in Madrid. So I was in Spain without a passport. Well, that makes you a little bit nervous. But what was worse than that is that I was in a part of Spain that was very close to the border of France. And I had promised my daughter and my wife that for my daughter's birthday, I would take her into France. But now here I am and in Spain. I don't have no passport because it's at the embassy, but I want to take her into France. So, last time I had been into France with the new European Common Market, I remember I had crossed the border and no one had stopped me to check my passport. So I said, I don't have a passport. Promised my daughter I was going to go. I'm going to risk it. So I drove the car all the way to the border of France, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to try to look real Spanish here so they won't stop me. And I drove up to the border, to the crossing, and of course they have the guards in the crossing, and they looked me, they saw me, and they waved me on. So now I'm in France, but I have no passport. That's not a good thing either. Because the whole time I'm in France, I'm thinking, if I get stopped, or if a policeman stops me or someone stops me, they're going to say, hey, where's your passport? And I'm going to say, well, you know, sir, I don't have it. And I'm going to say, je ne sais something. And I'm going to try to talk to him, and they're going to say, this guy. And the entire time I was in France, I felt uncomfortable. You know why? Because I didn't have a passport. And so although I was there, I felt a little bit like I don't belong. I'm here, but I'm not really secure. I'm here, but I'm feeling like, hey, if someone finds out I don't have a passport, they're going to send me back from where I came. Can I tell you something? Spiritually, it's the very same thing. You see, some of us, we don't know who we are in God. We don't have our identity clear in God. We don't really understand who we are in God. We don't understand our worth, our value. We don't understand what God has said about us. So we go into marriage and you feel in marriage, I'm not really sure I know how to be married because you don't know who you are. And you go to be a father and you're a father, but you feel like, hey, I don't know if I'm wired to be a father. Why? Because you don't know who you are. And you get a promotion at your job and you're in your job, but you're feeling inside the whole time insecure, like, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I'm able. I'm not sure I'm capable. Why? Because you don't know who you are. You come into church to worship and everybody's worshiping and singing, and you walk in here and you've been coming a while and you feel like, I'm not sure I belong here. I'm not sure I'm like those people because you don't know who you are. You see, you don't know who God has said you are. And if you don't have a clear passport, you may go places, but all the time you're feeling, I'm not sure I belong. I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure this is where I should live. I'm not sure this is really where I'm supposed to be. Why? Because you don't have a spiritual passport that tells you who you are in God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in the second half of his message entitled The Possession Trap, which is from his series called Identity Theft. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app that you can find at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other great messages that you can download to help you with your spiritual walk. You can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300 if you would prefer to have a CD. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit one of our New Life campuses. There are 25 New Life churches throughout Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message, and please do tell a friend. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.